back to order.
Members, please vote, signify their presence. Have all members voted? Secretary, please close the roll.
The roll shows 18 senators present this morning. Senator Eliason is excused from the call of the Senate today.
Dear Lord, we see that according to your word, the first inward dynamic that you place within human beings is faith. And we pray for a developing faith within our senators because of their prominence as leaders. But Lord, faith requires a worthy object. And the worthiest of objects is God Almighty. Therefore, as we develop our faith in you, we can properly develop our faith in ourselves, in our system, and our work. And we thank you for that. Amen.
The Secretary certify as correctness of the Daily Journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 82nd, 83rd, and 84th Legislative Day and Senate Supplement Number 68.
Senator Wright.
Move the journals for the 82nd, 83rd, and 84th Legislative Day and Senate Supplement 68 be approved as certified.
With no objections, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction this morning? Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce to the body of a friend and a constituent who's down from Fairbanks visiting, Rick Wirth.
Mr. President.
Senator Sackett.
I'd like to introduce another RSVP student who's going to be working in my office for the next 2 weeks from Good News Bay, Vernon Vavilla.
Welcome to the Senate.
Senator Fisher.
Yes, Mr. President, I'd like to introduce a student who's not here on the RSVP because she's a student at a private school. The private school decided with their own funds they were going to send a student down to get the experience of a hands-on approach to seeing just how the legislature functions. It's a student from Kalifonsky Christian Center. She's a constituent of Senator Gilman's and myself, Michelle Brengard.
Floor, Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, there's been a request for a short leadership caucus. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in recess until the end of the caucus.
Call the chair a few minutes to order. You have the floor.
I'm going to revert to introductions.
We've reverted to introduction guests.
I'd like to introduce a very, very good friend of mine from the Yukon and also living in Fairbanks, Paul Dean Carlo.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce an old friend of mine, I believe a constituent of Senator Sturgiluski's and Rhodes, and a very active member of the Hispanic community of Anchorage, Oscar Gardaris.
Are the messages from the governor this morning?
Messages of March 30. Under Article 2, Section 15 of the Alaska Constitution, I've signed into law Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 639, Finance, making special appropriations to state agencies for development projects and for payments as grants to municipalities and unincorporated communities for development grants. Chapter 21, Session Laws 1984, with vetoed line items amounting to $83,854,700. March 30, 1984. Signed into law, Chapter 22, Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 636, Finance, making special appropriations to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for capital projects and for payment as grants to municipalities and unincorporated communities for transportation grants and providing for an effective date. Chapter 22, Session Laws 1984. With veto items amounting to $24,370,088. and signed into law Chapter 23, Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 637, making special appropriations to the University of Alaska for capital projects and for payment as grants to municipalities and unincorporated communities for post-secondary facilities and providing for an effective date with veto line items of $6,170,088. This is Chapter 23. Sincerely, Bill Sheffield, Governor. Those are the messages from the Governor today.
I would expect the House to invite us to a veto session following today's action on the seventh bill involving these capital projects, perhaps as early as tomorrow, hopefully not before Wednesday. Are there other messages from the Governor?
Those were the messages from the Governor today.
There are messages from the House.
Message of March 30, the House adopted the Third Conference Committee report on Senate Bill 257, Legislative Ethics. Thus, the Second Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 257, Standards of Conduct of Legislators and Legislative Employees and Establishing a Select Committee on Legislative Ethics Effective Date, passed the House. This bill has been sent to enrolling. A message from the bill drafter on House Bill 84 with some changes made by the reviser of statutes to Senate CS for CS for House Bill 84, Finance Amended Senate, which will be in today's journal.
Judiciary may wish to look at those.
That bill has gone on to the Governor with those drafting changes. Messages of March 30. The House passed the following and transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for House Bill Number 589, Finance, amended by the Finance Committee. An act relating to the Alaska Power Authority, authorizing the construction of the Wautauna and Bradley Lake hydroelectric projects and providing for an effective date.
Resources, Finance.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 684, Finn, amended by the Finance Committee, an act making special appropriations to the Alaska Power Authority and providing for an effective date.
Resources, Finance.
Those are the messages from the House.
Are the communications?
There is a communication dated March 7th from the Alaska Land Use Council attaching a report, Alaska Land Use Council in the Spirit of Cooperation 1983 Annual Report, and signed by Senator, or by Bill Sheffield, Governor, State Co-Chairman, and Vernon Wiggins, Federal Co-Chairman. This will be on file. That is the only communication.
Reports to standing committees.
The Resources Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 42, Sport Fishing of Salmon and Underutilized Species. Senator Fahrenkamp, Chairman, and Senator Ziegler, Paul Fisher, and Mulcahy signed do pass. SCR 42 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Resources Committee considered the second sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 45, establishing an agricultural land sale payment moratorium. Senator Fahrenkamp, Chairman, and Senator Ziegler, Paul Fisher, and Curtula signed do pass. Senator Mulcahy signed no recommendation. SB 45 has a further referral to Finance. The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill Number 369, Planning, Designing, and Construction of Agriculture and Forestry Facilities by the Department of Natural Resources, and recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Fahrenkamp, Chairman, concurring Senator Ziegler, Paul Fisher, and Mulcahy. SB 369 has a further referral to Transportation. The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill Number 432, amending the Alaska Securities Act. Senator Ray, Chairman, and Senator Josephson signed do pass. Senator Pettyjohn signed do not pass. Senator Ziegler signed no recommendation. SB 432 has a further referral to Finance. The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill Number 448, State Personnel Rules for Open Competitive Examinations, and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute State Affairs with a fiscal note, and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Sturdalewski, and Ray. SB 448 has a further referral to Finance. The Judiciary Committee discussed Senate Bill 464 and decided to waive it with a further referral to the Finance Committee. However, the following amendment to the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute was suggested for the Finance Committee's consideration.
Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee waive Senate Bill 464 and ask that it be given the finance referral.
Finance. Waived.
Senate Bill 464 was referred to finance. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered Senate Bill number 496, Commercial Fishing Loan Fund, and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute LNC with a fiscal note and a letter of intent and a new title. Senator Lyason, Chairman, and Senator Mulcahy signed do pass. Senators Pettyjohn and Sackett signed no recommendation. SB 496 has a further referral to finance. The Rules Committee considered the following and recommend that they be counted on April 2nd. Senate Joint Resolution Number 30, Enforcement of Child Support Obligations. Senate Bill Number 402, Exemptions from Tax or Credits Against Tax. Senate Bill Number 519, State Support for Education. And Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 39, Hess, Services for Pregnant Women. On the last bill, they recommend that the Senate Committee Substitute Finance be adopted and calendar. Signed, Senator Fakes, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Ray, Bennett, and Ferguson. These do appear on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports.
Are there special committee reports?
We have no special committee reports today.
There are bills for introduction.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 47 by Senator Moss, an act relating to reimbursement for the cost of land clearing and providing for an effective date.
Resources, finance.
Senate Bill Number 540 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to child support enforcement and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs Judiciary.
Senate Bill Number 541 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to child support enforcement and the reporting of payment information on delinquent obligors to credit bureaus or lending institutions and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs Judiciary.
Those are the new bills, Mr. President.
Takes us to the daily calendar. Senator Joson, do you wish to move on the first bill today?
Yes, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that SB 346 be placed on tomorrow's calendar.
No objection. Be placed. Objection, Senator Ray.
Just temporarily now, the Judiciary Committee held hearings on that bill, I think, for a week or more, and we had in-depth hearings, and we've had this bill on the calendar for 4 or 5 days now, and I am obliged, if it's not ready tomorrow, or if these people who have these amendments that didn't show during committee or didn't have the opportunity to come there, not one of them have contacted me as the chairman of the committee, and tomorrow the bill is going to go back to Judiciary if they're not ready for it.
Suggestion. We'll hold it on second reading tomorrow's calendar. Next item is Senate Bill 402. Secretary, read the bill by title off their committee report.
Senate Bill Number 402 by Senator Fakes, an act relating to exemptions from tax or credits against tax and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends due pass with a zero fiscal note. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Josephson, Mulcahy, Ferguson, Fakes, Vic Fisher, and Sackett.
Are there amendments to that bill?
There are no amendments.
In the absence of amendments, Senator Ray.
We would ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 402 be considered engrossed in the advance third reading and placed in final passage.
Objection. So ordered. Secretary, read the bill in third reading.
Senate Bill Number 402, an act relating to exemptions from tax or credits against tax and providing for an effective date.
Bill is before you for discussion, for debate. Ready for the question? Senator Ray.
I'd like to have somebody explain the bill.
You have the floor, Senator Fakes.
Okay. Senate Bill 402 would amend the Title 43 of our Alaska statutes, which right now, when the Internal Revenue Department adopts or changes their code, we adopt those changes in code by reference into our statutes. These provisions modify exemptions from tax or credits from tax are not automatically adopted right now, and there are two sections where this would matter, under personal income tax and under corporate income tax. We don't have personal income tax anymore, and right now under Alaska statutes, the deductions are immediately adopted into our state law. It's the credits that have a one-year lag. What this bill does is it would allow the Alaska government to adopt both credits and deductions immediately when the IRS makes those changes. Right now, under current state law, the deductions are adopted immediately. The credits have a one-year lag. What this does, of course, is it makes record keeping for the CPAs and the Department of Revenue around the state very cumbersome. They basically keep two sets of records, and the taxpayers, the people that are filing their tax bills every year, have to keep two sets of records. So it's very, very cumbersome. It was very significant to the state when we had personal income tax. It's not significant now under corporate income tax. It would take no money away from the state of Alaska. Senator Ray is telling me he's had enough explanation. Thank you, Mr. President.
Ready for the question? The question is, shall Senate Bill 402 pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
Senator Sturgiewski.
The member desire to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 17 yeas, 2 absent, and 1 excused.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of Section 2 of Senate Bill Number 402 be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
Objection. Effective date clause has been adopted.
Mr. President.
Before, Senator.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of Section 3 of Senate Bill Number 402 be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
No objections. Adopted. Next item on the daily calendar, Senate Bill 519. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate Bill Number 519 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to state support for education and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this bill. Senator Josephson, Chairman, and Senator Moss signed do pass. Senator Hoffer signed the recommendation and attached the zero fiscal note. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring, Senator Sackett, Mulcahy, Josephson, Ferguson, Fakes, and Vic Fisher.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
Absence of amendments? Senator Wright?
We would ask unanimous consent, Senate Bill Number 519, be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, place the final pass.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill, third reading.
Senate Bill Number 519, an act relating to state support for education and providing for an effective date.
Bill is before you for discussion, for debate.
Question
is, shall Senate Bill 519 be adopted by the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 17 yeas, 2 absent, and 1 excused.
The bill has been adopted. You have the floor, Senator.
We would ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of Senate Bill Number 519 to consider the roll call on the effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered. Effective date clause has been adopted. Next item on the daily calendar is House Bill 39. Secretary, read the bill by title author, committee report.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 39 passed by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to services for pregnant women and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with the Senate Committee substitute Hess with no effective date and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Josephson, Chairman, concurring Senators Moss and Fisher, all Fisher. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with a Senate Committee substitute, Finn, and do pass with a fiscal note. Signed, Senator Bennett, Chairman, concurring Senators Josephson, Mulcahy, Vic Fisher, Ferguson, Sackett, and Fakes. There are 2 committee substitutes.
Who wishes to move committee substitute? Senator Josephson.
I move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of the Finance Committee substitute.
There's no objection. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 39, financed by the Finance Committee, an act relating to services for pregnant women.
Senator Ray?
For a possible amendment, Mr. President, I don't, I forget right off the top of my head. I want somebody to refresh my memory as on abortions. Are there economic or social difficulties? Is that the criteria for a woman receiving state aid for abortions?
Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator.
Since I can't answer that question, I'll answer the question that wasn't asked. That is that this bill is desired by all parties to the abortion debate. That's an unusual situation, but the people who feel strongly that existing abortion policy is wrong or even immoral see HB 39 as a way of equalizing and balancing state policy by providing assistance to those who, for social and economic difficulties, might consider the abortion option. And others on humanitarian grounds believe that this kind of prenatal service assistance will be helpful to families, mothers, and of course babies, and reduce in the long run the state costs that come from birth defects or other problems connected with the delivery of babies.
Senator Ray?
I thank my learned colleague, but that wasn't the question, nor was it the answer. What I'm trying to determine is that if there is a criteria that the only pregnant women in Alaska that can have state or federal aid for an abortion are those with social and economic difficulties. If they are, that's fine. We can leave that language in here. But if it's any woman in Alaska, then we should remove the language there and let any woman in Alaska have the same services for pregnant women, is what I'm trying to do, is make an equality with the bill.
Is there...
Mr. President,
you have the floor, Senator.
I know of no policy that allows the state to pay for the cost of abortions for women who have no economic difficulties any more than any other medical procedure.
Senator Wright.
Well, I don't know either. Perhaps what I'm trying to determine, is that if any woman in Alaska can go down and say she wants an abortion and get an abortion and get the state aid. If that's the case, then any woman should be able to get pregnancy assistance. If it's just women in economic straits or women that are in a social position that they do not have sufficient money to do these things, then that's fine.
There seems to be no answer to the question. If this bill, if there is a desire to get the question answered and this bill is a factor vehicle, we can hold it over.
Mr. President, I would move an action unanimous consent that the bill be held one day, and we'll provide the material to the Senator.
Without objection, House Bill 39 be held on the calendar for one day in second reading. The next item on the daily calendar is Senate Joint Resolution 30.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 30 by Senators Hofford, Kutula, Josephson, Fakes, Vic Fisher, Paul Fisher, Pettyjohn, Kelly, Eliason, and Sturgiluski, relating to the enforcement of child support obligations. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill and recommends due pass with amendment, signed Senator Ray, Chairman, concurring Senators Ziegler, Josephson, Pettyjohn, and Eliason. The Finance Committee considered this resolution and recommends due pass, signed Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senator Sackett, Josephson, Mulcahy, Vic Fisher, and Ferguson.
The amendment, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, the amendment was to address it to the Honorable Ronald Reagan, President, and the Honorable Margaret M. Heckler, Secretary of the Department of Health and Social Services.
Is there an amendment before us?
Amendment number one is in your backup with the Judiciary Committee report. Amendment number one, page 2, line 8. Insert the Honorable Ronald Reagan, President of the United States, the Honorable Margaret M. Heckler, Secretary of the Department of Health and Social Services.
Senator Ray.
Move amendment number one and ask unanimous consent.
No objection. Amendments adopted. Are there further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
In absence of amendments, Senator Ray.
Move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution Number 30 is amended be considered in gross advance, third reading, and placed in final passage.
Objection. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 30 amended, relating to the enforcement of child support obligations.
Bill's before you. Discussion? Debate? Question is, shall SJR 30 be adopted by the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 18 yeas, one excused, and one absent.
It's been adopted. Takes us to unfinished business. Are the items under unfinished business?
We have one citation, sir.
Secretary, read the citation.
Citation honoring Yupik Antigone by Senators Sackett, Vic Fisher, Ray, and Ferguson, and Representatives Vaska and Fuller.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President?
Senator Sackett?
I just want to make a few statements on this citation. First of all, as you know, the Yupik Antigone was started here at Perseverance Theater in Juneau, and they've been selected to go to the United States at the Theater of Nations Festival in France in June. In addition to that, they're going to be performing also in New York City this week for about 2 weeks in July. I just wanted to alert the group to this as you vote for the citation or for its adoption, because I might have to put a fiscal note onto it.
Is there a motion to adopt the citation? Yes, of course, Senator.
Well, with pride, I will move that we adopt the citation calendar.
An objection?
And the fiscal note.
Citation calendar is adopted. Further unfinished business? Announcement of committee meetings. Committee meetings this Monday morning. Finance Chairman.
On Tuesday, April 3rd at 8:30 a.m., Senate Finance Committee will meet taking up Senate Bill 490, Act on Making a Supplemental Appropriation to the Alaska Court System.
Further announcement of committee meetings this morning. Items under special orders this morning. Senator Joseph has
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent for the privilege of the floor to discuss budget vetoes.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I have had the opportunity, as other senators have had, to read Governor Sheffield's budget messages, and I am aghast at what I read, because I do not use the English language the way whoever prepared these letters uses the language. Mr. President, I find that those messages really add insult to injury to Anchorage, and I'd like to just take a minute to tell the Senate why. Mr. President, in the letter of March 30 to Speaker Hayes concerning House Bill 635, the development projects for payment as grants to municipalities, the governor wrote, in part, "I have found it particularly difficult to address the budget as a whole, both in view of the piecemeal approach to the assembling of the capital budget and the fact that many items that are required in the total budget are still undetermined." Mr. President, that is not correct. The fact of the matter is that the governor asked that all seven bills be placed on his desk so that he could consider them simultaneously, and the legislature, as a courtesy to the governor, did that. And he has had them all at the same time on his desk. There is no piecemeal approach. And as a matter of fact, in the paper on Sunday in the Anchorage News, the governor went on to say, "This administration is in favor of saving money for the future. We know what the revenues are and what they can afford to spend." There is no problem in that regard. The only thing the legislature did, and as Senator Fakes has pointed out previously, it was done in response to two things: the NCSL suggestion that we break up the capital budget by subject matter, and the governor's call in 1983 that we get our process moving more expeditiously and get money bills to him faster. That's what happened, and that's what we responded to. And there is no piecemeal approach, and for the executive branch to say that there is simply, as Winston Churchill once said, stating the opposite of the truth with exactitude. Mr. President, in the message on Senate Bill 636, I read from the governor's message to the speaker, "I have relied greatly upon the planning and public review processes completed by organized cities and boroughs. I have followed the recommendations of local governments closely." Well, Mr. President, he did not follow the recommendations of the municipality of Anchorage closely. The total budget cuts from the six capital bills so far is 38% of the Anchorage capital projects are out. That's the first mistake. The second mistake is that some of the projects that were deleted are among the highest priorities of the Anchorage Assembly and the Anchorage Mayor. And I think it is bad enough to veto those projects, but then to implicate local government officials in the decision-making process when they are innocent of that kind of implication is wrong. And were I still a local government official, I would be deeply offended by that as well as by the cuts. If the governor wants to make these cuts, it should be the executive's sole responsibility, and it should not be suggested to the people of Alaska that he is doing that on the advice of local government, because he's not doing it on the advice of local government. The West Northern Lights project, and I won't talk about these projects in detail, but just as an example, that is a project where people marched on the street, little children marched, to protest the condition of the road and the deaths that were occurring to and injuries that were occurring to small children on the way to the Turnigan School. It is not in my district, but it is something that has caught the attention of every resident of Anchorage. And to say that that is not a local priority is incorrect. I want to just tell the Senate how distressed I am. Senator Fake, Senator Fisher, and I have communicated with the Speaker. We have asked for a joint session to consider overrides. We will take this case to the Anchorage Caucus. We will make a sincere effort to amass votes to address the most critical issues in Anchorage. Now, it is not my position that every veto is incorrect. There was a reduction for the dormitories at Anchorage. I think that's justifiable on the facts, and I'm glad that at least that project will be underway. There is a veto of the Whittier purchase. I said when I supported that matter that I would abide by the governor's judgment, but wanted to give him the latitude to make that acquisition if he cared to. I'm not upset about that. But when budget messages purport to say that there is a rational process of consulting local government or a true consultation with the public, when we've had a public process in Anchorage which has been ignored, I must protest. I do protest, and I urge that there be a joint session, and I ask my colleagues from areas other than Anchorage, when we define what the most critical problems are, and I've mentioned one case, the Northern Lights case, to seriously consider voting with us to override, because I think unless we give a message now to the administration that we are going to look in a dispassionate way on the merits of each veto item, other districts will find themselves in the same position that Anchorage is in this morning. Thank you, Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator.
Just very briefly to that particular topic, I was really, I understand politics, the need to address the governor's issues of the railroad, the power situation and so on. I think we're certainly indicated that we're prepared to do that, and there's been a lot of work done particularly on the railroad and some of the other issues of concern here. But I participated in that march on West Northern Lights on a snowy day last fall. We had about 300 kids with yellow ribbons on their arm. We had the mayor, we had the two assemblymen, Assemblyman Walsh and Maestrom. We had all of the legislators from the area. The kids in that school got tremendously emotionally involved in what had happened to two of their little colleagues. Those unsafe conditions still exist. I think that was the number one priority of the mayor, of the assembly. It had gone through the process of a citizens committee. It's been underway to try. Former Senator Dankworth, Senator Rohde, and I introduced legislation several years ago. The community came unglued. We went through the planning process. And then to find that it is said in nice terms that the planning and other things haven't been done, I really find insulting not only to the people of that community, but to those who are attempting to represent them. And I, too, would make a special plea on that we get about the business of that particular road. It's dangerous. It's getting a lot worse due to the development out there. And I wish the governor would say, we're playing politics and that's it. I think we could accept that, but not with this kind of a project.
Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. President. On the same subject, I'm really beginning to get mixed signals from the administration, and I don't understand it. On one hand, they say they're in favor of Susitna. On the other hand, they veto the $32 million. On one hand, they say they want to complete the inner tie, which is nearly completed, and they veto the $17 million. I see this happening time and time again. I guess that we're being placed in the position where maybe we should follow the type of leadership to where we have everything on our desk before we make a decision about the first thing. You know, if that's the case, well, then I think the finance table up there, which all of you know is very large, would certainly be overcrowded with all of the considerations. I think that we're setting some precedences here and some vetoes that just really don't make a lot of sense. If we believe in hydropower for everyone in our state as much as possible, why would we veto the inner tie? If we believe in continuing the first licensing, why do we veto Susitna? These are questions that I guess we're having to wrestle with that we really don't understand. And I think the biggest thing probably that distresses me is I thought we were somewhat in tandem, and I felt that we had a chance for an early adjournment. But if every 60 or 70 days we get put back to the drawing boards again, I think that we've just blown the great possibility of a 120-day session. Mr. President, I'm very disturbed, and I think the people of our state should be disturbed. I think that there are going to be people sitting in the union halls that could well have been out to work this summer, and I think we're going to have all kinds of economic vibrations just based on this most recent veto. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Fakes.
Yes, Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent under special orders to be able to talk on the same subject, governor's vetoes.
You have the floor, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Anchorage is in a unique position because there are 27 members out of 60 in the legislature representing our city. And the governor came down and said that he's tired of legislators doing capital projects by piecemeal, or a legislator going to a restaurant and having a cup of coffee with a constituent, and all of a sudden the capital project that that constituent wanted appears in the capital budget process. So the governor asked for a change of how we do our capital budgets. He was looking for public input. He wanted the people on the local level to have a tremendous input into this. And I agreed with the governor. I think the governor's right, and I think local people should have, the local government official should have that say and that input. So the Anchorage delegation did something unique this year. We decided when we sat down in a group, all 27 of us, that we would not put our pet projects into these six bills, that we would look to the local government officials and the mayor for those projects. So we made a unanimous decision that no project would be considered for these six bills unless it was in the book, we called it, the mayor's and the assembly's list of priority projects for the Anchorage area. Okay, now some projects are higher priorities than others. In the transportation bill, the top transportation projects, number one, Northern Lights has been mentioned, number three, West 100th, all vetoed. Number four, vetoed. Number five, vetoed. Where then do we go for the list of projects on the local level for the capital budget if we don't go to the book and the mayor's and the assembly's list? We did it as a group, and we did it, we each gave up our kind of individual priorities over the capital budget to work with the assembly and the mayor, because we all, 27 of us, felt like the governor was right and we wanted to comply and we wanted to work as a group. And we didn't have any reinforcement, Mr. President. If we're working under Pavlov's dog's theory, we clicked our little button there and no kernel of corn has come down. And so now where do we go? I think when you look at things like West 100th, the road projects for Anchorage were all put up together with the Department of Transportation. In the mayor, in the governor's transmittal letter, he says he looked for projects where his own agencies had input. The AMATS plan in Anchorage was all done with the Department of Transportation. So I guess, Mr. President, I don't know where else to go, because I thought we were following the governor's mandate all the way along the line. And I, for one, am very disappointed.
Senator Victor Fisher.
Mr. President, what I think is obvious here is that some of us who work closest with the governor in the, last year and in this session are the most saddened and the most concerned about what's happening today. This session started out in a real spirit of cooperation, collaboration. We worked together for 2 months. There seemed to be general agreement on getting out of here quickly, on getting the business of the state done, on getting the capital budget moved ahead, on moving ahead with Susitna, with the railroad, on all the Ford Dam Pool and all the various priorities. And suddenly, the vetoes are throwing us into a situation of confrontation and coercion, which is simply going to result in frustration and anger and will be exploited, I'm afraid, for political purposes. You can't legislate by veto or veto threats. It's no way to get things done. It's no way to run the state. I'm afraid, and we already hear some of the rumblings, that legislators will simply get their back up. The governor will not get what he wants. The people of Alaska will not get served, and the legislators will get involved in another fight with the governor, which nobody ever wins. I just want to say, Mr. President, that I hope that out of this, that after today, we will be able to move ahead in some, again, in a renewed spirit of cooperation and collaboration, because the way we're going, I think, we'll be in real trouble.
All right.
May I have the privilege of the floor for the same topic, Mr. President?
You have the floor, Senator. No objection.
I've listened to my colleagues, and I sympathize greatly with them, and I understand exactly where they are and where they're coming from. I don't sit on the Finance Committee. All the previous people sit on the Finance Committee, but if I did, what I would do is I would be marshaling the rest of the Finance and the rest of the members of this Senate and saying, when the last veto message comes down, which will be in a day or so, get together and put together back your number one priorities and those things that you know to be the number one priorities and that the people know are the number one priorities, put them back in another bill and send them up there to the governor and say, this is the priorities. These are number one priorities, and these are the things that we're going to have before we leave here. And give it to him that way, and if he continues to veto the number one projects, then you always have the recourse of overriding the veto without any obstruction, without any complaint, without any problem or trouble. There's no other business come before the Senate, Mr. President?
Seems to be none.
10 a.m. Tuesday.
We're adjourned at 10 a.m.